What's your reaction when you meet someone random on the street and they say, oh, I do drag. Let me show you.
I smile and nod.
I know. I feel like I do the RuPaul trying to smile, but also like, oh, fucking God, what are you about to show me?
Yeah. Every once in a while, somebody surprises me. But most of the time when people do that, I'm like,
okay. Well, it's always good to practice.
It's never too late to quit. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of
Flapping and Fawning.
Whipcrack.mp3. Fawn.
Happy birthday to me. Happy birthday to me. Happy birthday, dear Flapjack. Hi, Fawn.
Hi. How was your birthday?
It was honestly so, so, so good. I that was my favorite bingo ever, honestly. And I mean, it definitely helped that we had people who made cupcakes with my faces on them.
Right.
My faces. My usually one face. And another cake like
yeah,
design.
Yeah, you're not a Gemini.
I know. I'm a Scorpio, which means I'll stab you from the back. but yeah, it honestly was a really great day. And my fawn of the week will go to the winner of the birthday challenge. So make sure you stick around to the end of the episode to hear who that's going to be.
Oh, there's a competition.
It wasn't until it was just like, oh my God, they like really made me feel so special.
Oh, I already know who won.
Yeah. I mean, anyone who knows who was around will know. But yeah, anyone who doesn't, you'll see at the end. Stick around.
It was fun.
It was fun.
I like had made this whole list of music that I wanted to do for bingo because I didn't know what the fuck I wanted to do. And
yeah, bingo's kind of a weird gig.
Like, and it was kind of one of those things, if I'm being honest, I was kind of dreading it this month because like I wanted a drag break, but also like I needed the money. Yeah. And so I was like, if I'm going to be doing bingo, I'm not worried about the money that I'm going to be making from bingo tips wise. I'm just going to do drag that I want to do.
Totally.
And so, like, I did makeup I wanted to do.
It was really cool.
And then I was, like, hell-bent on doing, like, grunge, something like that music-wise. And I was like, wait, it's Flap's birthday. Let me do something from the year they were born. Oh. And I, like, go looking through. And it was so fucking hard to find some good music to do drag to from 1995. Thank God Alanis Morissette saved the day.
Thank God.
No Doubt had an album that year and Smashing Pumpkins, but like I don't know the Smashing Pumpkins well enough.
I really love the song you did though. Like it was when I was like, oh my God, I can totally sing along to this. Oh, and yeah. I didn't know it was in 95. Yeah. So work. It was a good choice.
I've already told Mark in January I'm only doing music from 94 because there is so much music that I can do from 94.
Yeah.
And like a lot of it I've already done.
Something crazy. You were not in the band at this college we both went to at the time that they did the 94 show, right?
I don't think so.
Okay, because I was in it. And
oh, then no.
All we did was, for that marching season that fall, it was just music from 94. And I was like, damn, there were a lot of bops.
94 is a strong fucking music year. Too bad.
95 let it down.
Too bad I didn't inherit any of that as a 94 baby.
Unfortunately. Yeah. I mean, bingo is a gig that I love. I don't think I've ever dreaded it just because.
It wasn't that I was dreading bingo. I was dreading drag.
Yeah. Okay, fair. But I don't, for some reason, bingo is one I always look forward to. Like, yeah. You have those shows where you're like, oh my God, I have to figure out what I'm going to do. But I just feel like at bingo, more than anything, we're getting paid to hang out with our friends and like, make fun of them while we call numbers and make fun of each other. I really, really love it.
You've also like missed two and I haven't missed a single one.
True.
So like,
take
every month, I'm like,
you're the one who's telling everybody to quit drag. Why don't you quit for a minute?
Look, I'm in too deep to quit drag. I've thought about it. I'm too invested. But also, like, I usually enjoy it when I get there.
Yeah.
Not usually. I always enjoy it when I get there. But it was just one of those things that it was just like the mental energy of me, like, not wanting to do drag and then just like being like, no, but I need to do
that. Gotta do it. Mm-hmm. I was so ready. I'm telling you, I think you just need to bite the bullet and take the break, you know? And
well, I keep trying and then you're like, hey, fine.
Come do a show. I mean, you can always say no. There is power in that. But look,
I finally said no to a show.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Did you send them my way?
No.
But Fawn, I do that for you.
Well,
what the hell? I see where we stand.
I think one of your children's in that show.
Oh, yeah, okay. I got offered that show as well. I could not do it. I said no.
See? I got offered that show and I was just like, it's the day before I'm seeing Kim Petras.
Oh.
And I had bingo this week. And I'm also like about to start door dashing because I need money. I'm taking a drag break just to do more work.
Yeah.
But
I mean, it's a different kind of work. Yeah. So, I mean, like having to be on all the time with drag, it's just exhausting. But I will say, like, taking that break was so wonderful because now I feel like I'm more willing to like find inspiration and think about like, and new concepts are coming to me and just to be more excited about it. I mean, last night I was so excited to be there. Fawn, I got there like 45 minutes early.
You never get there that early.
Never.
You're usually rolling up at like 7:25.
It's not on purpose. You know, it's like, oh my God, I feel like I'm rushing to get there. But I was so pumped. I was like, let's fucking go. I had all my clothes laid out like for what I was going to wear. I knew what I was going to perform.
It's so, usually I get there at like 7. You get there at 7:25. And
I grab the mic and I say, who's ready for bingo?
And last night it was the exact opposite.
Yeah. But it's fine. We always got to trade it out a little bit.
Yeah.
Well, we have a lot to talk about in this week's Dragula episode. But first, I know we do have a few plugs we want to squeeze in. And if you know me well, you know I like to squeeze in a plug or two.
And you've heard us talking about this first one already. Mm-hmm. It's just a reminder, if you missed it last night for Flapjack's birthday, you can always catch us again next month for... Yes. Drag Bingo at High Wire Brewing the second Wednesday of every month at 7:30 p.m. And that is free bingo. So it's no cost. I don't know what the second Wednesday of December is, but if you've got a calendar, you can check it yourself.
Yeah, get a calendar.
You've got a phone in your hand.
Exactly.
Probably as you're listening to
this. As you're driving, get your phone out and, you know, use one hand to drive, use the other hand to plug into your calendar, Drag Bingo. And if you only have one hand, the road will be fine. Just get out your phone and start plugging it in right now. Also, we have, speaking of plugs, on Saturday, December 2nd at 12:30 p.m., we will have our next all-ages drag show at Birmingham Festival Theater. Again, those tickets will be on very, very soon at bftonline.org.
We've got a really good lineup for that show.
We do. I can't wait to announce it. Also, though, I do want to plug that I'm going to be in a play at BFT in December. So find Slay. A showing of Seven Santas. Yeah, and it will be Santa's Slay.
Slay.
Hanny.
Mom. Yes, God. Oh. as well as you can, there is still time to register to compete in Miss Magic City Comedy Queen that will also be at Birmingham Festival Theater on Sunday, January 14th. And entry until November 12th will be $100, $150 after that. DM us if you want to register. You can also go online to bftonline.org to buy tickets to attend. It's going to be fantastic. I am so excited for this pageant.
Me too. I got to tell you, I'm so glad that we have an early bird deadline because we may have a few early birds, and that is really wonderful to hear. Also, make sure that you grab your tickets for that as well, because if you don't know, those are reserved seating. So, you know, you want to make sure that you have enough time to pick out a good seat for the page. And all of those links...
Pulling the page.
Yes, that's right. Pulling up your seat at the page. And
just don't be like Lauren Boebert at the page.
Please don't. Actually, no. If you're jacking off the person next to you at the pageant... You will be crowned Miss Magic City Comedy Queen.
Honestly, Slay.
Honestly.
Getting finger blasted at Comedy Queen.
That's what I call a big finish. Now, you can find all of the links to those plugs we just said in the description of this episode, as well as links to buy merch, such as our stickers or our mugs. And I want to remind you all to write a 5-star review for us, please, 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 over at our Facebook page or on Apple Podcasts. and we will read it at the top of each of our episodes. We don't have a new one to read just yet, so head on over and you may hear yours read next. All right, let's do this. Dragula. So this roster situation is looking pretty interesting.
Yeah.
At the top of the episode, we're even. So if you don't know, as a reminder, Vaughn and I have a bet going, and we divided up our fantasy rosters for the season. And whoever has the winner on their roster will not have to do what the loser has to do, which is where the loser has to do the worst extermination of the season. I feel like I explained that the most confusing way possible, but yeah.
Well, according to you, it's not even because you have a win.
Okay, that's not what I said. I just like to say, I think that track record does matter because it shows the momentum that we're building.
Angeria thought track record mattered, and that was her final lip sync for her season, and you see where that got her.
That, you know what? That's very, very fair. It got her on a tour, which is more than you or I can say. Now, at the top of this episode, as a reminder for the roster, at the top of this episode, we are tied. So Fawn has Jarvis, Blackberry, Anaphylactic, Throb Zombie, and Orgotic. And on my roster, I have five as well, with Onyx on Dix, Fantasia Royale Gaga, Neohuru X, Cynthia Doll, and Satana. And JK was unfortunately exterminated at the end of the premiere episode. How'd this episode start off, Vaughn?
We start off with the contestants in the laboratory.
No, there was something a little before that that was spooky.
Oh, I always forget about the like intros. It was like the little dolls. We saw the preview of the
we saw a preview of the dolls, and we were like, what
the
fuck is
of
this?
The dolls.
Mm-hmm.
I immediately, when I saw the doll, I was like, the spider one, I said, I need that one.
Oh, yeah. It was really cute, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it started with the Boulets doing like drawing a pentagram on the ground, and we could hear Swan doing this chanting thing where she spoke a little bit in Latin and a little bit in English. Who knew she was bilingual?
Oh, my God.
Waka waka. Okay, I don't know if you remember this, but on our episode with Sam Starr, she made a joke about comedy queens, and she made a joke and went, waka waka, and ever since, when I'm like, let me make an obvious joke, I'm like, waka waka, and I think it's really funny. Maybe it's just me. Waka waka. But yes,
I'm going to tell Jawakatima you said that.
Please! Oh my God! Yeah, it's a shout out to Jawakatima. So yeah, we see the puppets that are foreshadowing some of what we will see later on in the episode.
We don't know it at the time, though.
And we don't know it, but it's secretly Neo, Orc, and Throb. Anyways, in the lab, what was on this lab?
The contestants come in and... what is her name?
They all came inside.
They all came up to the lab.
I can't come that high.
Why does my name not...
Who are you trying to figure out?
So, they come into the lab.
Uh-huh.
Onyx...
okay.
...is feeling... her. ...very self-conscious after being in the bottom last week. And she's like, I'm pretty sure that I know who I am.
Yeah. Pretty sure? Or are you just pretty?
Right. And so then... I forgot who it was like, so who do we think went home? And everybody thought JK.
Exactly. And to me, all right, since it's a recap episode or review episode, I'm going to say this was, you should probably know by now that JK does return to the competition.
Right.
And this was just evidence to me that they should not have. Like, everyone agreed, okay, that look was not the strong one to stick around.
I don't mind people not going home on the first episode.
Okay, when we get to it, I'll explain my issues with it. But so that was talked about. And also, shortly after that vote, Satana walks in.
And Fantasia said that shit about she thought Throb and Jarvis should have been in the bottom two.
Hey, look, I don't know about bottom two.
She thought they were the two that should have been up for extermination.
I don't think Onyx should have been in the bottom. I saw them lower than Onyx, honestly. I don't know. It just didn't read, in my opinion.
I did not.
But I don't know. If you want to hear our thoughts on that, you can listen to last week's episode on Flapping and Fawning. So Satana walks in and she said it was the hardest, most intense extermination ever. Do you agree? That
no.
I don't either. What do you think has been like one of the more difficult ones?
Well, I know what my partner would say would be the suffocation chamber from season 4.
Okay. Yeah.
That I think I'd probably be able to handle that though.
Yeah. You're a big fan of choking?
Well,
I knew it. You just look like one of those kinds of they thems that wants hands around your throat. Yeah, that one didn't bother me so much, but I guess I kind of see it. I personally
the piercing
think
the one piercing would have been the worst one, yeah, for me.
That one just it just kept going, and it felt like it was never going to end. So I don't know that I agree with.
I feel like I would have passed out.
Yeah, and maybe it would. It was the most physically demanding one to have to do. What really sounds especially like it was a 5-mile hike both ways,
especially after doing it like. After a full day of drag.
Yeah.
Because who knows how long filming took.
Yeah. It didn't appear that way to me. I just thought it was an interesting take. Because I remember hearing that and be like, was it? So, well, then we get a video message from the Boulets. Which, did this read extremely Drag Race to you? Or was that just me?
I mean, they've always kind of... I mean, they did this last year.
No, but they went to the... You're talking about Titans. They went to the stage to do that. And they did that on all the way.
Well, they've
since
always
season
had the screen, though. It's always been the screen.
Yeah, I just felt the thing. It was.
But
just
we have
so
a new stage this year, so I don't know that they'd be able to do it on the stage this
true.
Year.
It just felt so reminiscent of what Drag Race does, right? Like, yeah, they're all talking, and then you hear, and then they run over and they to the exact same side of the room, and people in bad wigs talk to them.
Hello, uglies.
Precisely. And yeah, I don't know. It just it felt very reminiscent of that to me. What did they tell us in this Boulet mail? In our boograms?
They remind the Boulets remind the competitors that filth is a very important tenet of Dragula. And that this week they will be challenged to create their own trash can children, which is a parody spoof of the Garbage Pail Kids.
Wonka Wonka.
Which is a parody spoof in itself of the Cabbage Patch Kids.
Oh, yeah, it is. Yeah, what a spoof of a spoof of a spoof. It's almost like a recap podcast of a recap podcast of a recap podcast.
Right.
Wow. Yeah, I was so excited for this as soon as they said it. I was just
like,
this is really cool. I want to do
cards
this
as a kid.
Oh, yeah, you had them?
Yeah.
I use a lot of them for inspiration recently. Like before this episode came out, I found myself Googling a lot of them, and I can't quite remember why, but I was looking at several of the different ones. And I was just really excited.
You
to
must have watched Dragula spoilers.
I didn't. I swear to God. I feel like I was trying to come up with a, oh, I think I know what it was. I often go back and think, what would be a good camp spirit if I ever had to do it again? And I think I was looking through Garbage Pail Kids. So we also find out that they're going to have another fright feat. So it's looking like these fright feats are probably going to happen every episode.
Well, maybe, because also like last on Titans, it seemed like there was going to be a curse every episode, but there wasn't a curse every episode.
True, true.
So I believe that it is a possibility that we'll have it every episode, but I'm like holding out till we see one more episode
very
before
fair.
I make that assumption.
It takes 3 points of data to establish a trend. Yes. So in the fright feat, they will chug and consume a garbage smoothie made of random meats and dumpster sludge in order to win the ability to cast the curse of the Teletubby toilet bowl, where the loser will have to get ready in a heavily used porta potty until the floor show.
This reminded me of that TikTok trend.
What TikTok trend?
Where they have two people blindfolded in front of blenders.
Oh.
Each of them has a blender in front of them, okay, and they have them blindfolded in front of the blender. And the person will hold something up, and each person has to say yes or no, and it just goes into the blender. Sometimes it's good things, sometimes it's bad things.
Oh. I have not been on TikTok enough.
I think
know
I sent
about
one
this.
To a chat that we're both in, and I was like, we should do this for the pod.
Oh, I should check
for
it
content.
Again. Yeah. But yeah, we should. That'd be fun. Maybe that's the fright feat. Or maybe that's who the extermination.
I don't think that
to.
Should be the extermination thing. I think that should be something that we both do.
Just for fun.
Somebody else is like picking out these ingredients for us.
Yeah.
And we just have to like yes or no them. and then deal with drinking whatever the fuck it is we agreed to.
How do you think you would do with this fright feet?
This one, I don't know. I heard there were whole cloves of garlic in it, which would make it hard to drink.
Yeah, that's weird. Yeah, how would you chug that?
So you've like got to chew it or just swallow it. There's also hot sauce in here, which would be where I would probably get fucked up.
The spice.
Yeah.
I can handle some spice.
I'm a little pussy baby when it comes to spice.
I don't know. I want to say I think I would do well with this, but the thing that really grosses me out was the dumpster sludge that they discussed at the end. Like that literally is just so nasty to me.
I feel like,
I'm not something I want to put in my body.
I doubt it was like actual dumpster sludge.
I guess. But if it smells like it, why would I not believe them, you know?
Right. So, but there was like apparently like a fishy smell or taste.
We can't
to
say
it.
That anymore. I was thinking, I don't know. I feel like that I have the ability to go to a place in my brain where it's
I think texture would get me more than taste would, quite honestly.
Well, yeah. Well, I feel that I have this ability to just focus on the task at hand and to ignore what my senses
are
telling me.
You are a Scorpio.
I am, you know. But what I do think might infiltrate that safe space
is everybody else gagging around you.
Yeah. If it was just me doing it by myself, yeah, that'd be fine.
That'd be the hard part is everybody else gagging around, because the minute somebody else threw up, I would probably throw up.
Uh-huh. Now, before they did the fright feat, Israel walks in, him and his beautiful self, with the steins of garbage smoothies and puts out an extra one. And the competitors
are
confused.
Must have been for Albert. Einstein.
Oh, because of the Stein. I understand. Yes, and the competitors are confused, just as I was with that joke, until JK walks in. And everyone seems to be annoyed that JK is back. What did you think about this?
It's not their decision. So it's kind of
like... But it's someone's... And like, to do the same... the exact same gag in the exact same way as you did the previous season,
but
I think is...
But that was Titans and not a regular season. They sent a formaldehyde home first episode.
But they also... I mean, but... Okay, Titans isn't a regular season. Fine, I accept that. But also, it's this one that happened last year. It happened in lieu of...
But I mean, like, also, like... It's one of those things in those situations I can understand being frustrated, but also like getting pissed and pitching a fit doesn't do anything about the situation.
True. I just feel that it's our ability as recap podcasters to be like, that wasn't the best production decision, you know?
I said last week that I would have preferred to see more JK over
Satana.
So in that aspect, I was happy to see JK back.
Same. But
also, JK's real cute out of drag.
JK is real
also,
cute.
Also, on Instagram, JK's pronouns are they, them, and so many people keep using he, him.
Yeah, I hear that too on the episode. I noticed that because I went back and checked.
Especially Satana. The one that don't like kings is also
we did not hear a lot from Satana this episode.
I was happy about that.
I knew you would be. But also with... With this particular thing, like, I think there's more than one way to use a save to like bring someone back. And I would much rather have like maybe a chance where we see multiple competitors get a chance
this
to come back and for them to earn it.
This wasn't the original plan.
Right. Yeah.
Because did you listen to the Boulez podcast?
I did. But I knew you would bring it up before I did.
Because apparently there was some mysterious 12th competitor that dropped out before filming ever started.
It was me.
Sure.
You don't think that I could do drag, filth, horror, and glamour?
Whatever. I don't think you could do any of them.
Especially
not glamour. You will never be glamour.
You will never be filth. Mm. Except for that mustache.
Well.
Yeah. Well, what did they say on the podcast, Bob?
Oh. I just said it. There was like some mysterious 12th competitor.
Oh, yes.
And
they quit like right before the season started.
Yeah. So... They had this free space and they weren't planning on using it episode one, but because also JK did still do the extermination challenge and complete it, they were like, well, let's go ahead and do it.
Yeah, let's go easy on him now that we've had a few seasons.
I think Drac has a soft spot for JK. I think Swan doesn't, but I think Drac does.
Maybe. Well, either way, JK is back And fortunately for them, they won the Fright Feat. And so they faked out everybody by making us think that they were going to choose Blackberry, but they instead chose Cynthia Dawn.
Faked out production, too.
They did. Yeah, I know the camera, like they said on the podcast that the cameras were set for Blackberry. That's why we got that beautiful
because backstage,
reaction shot.
JK kept saying Blackberry.
Yeah.
But Cynthia came in hot.
She did. She did.
On JK.
I mean, I would be pretty annoyed if JK walked back into, especially, I'm jumping the gun a little bit. I think they should have gone home this week. And I know we'll get
That's
there.
That's my disagreement.
Okay, well, we'll get there. But would you have cast it on Cynthia or someone else?
Here's the thing. If I walked in and somebody was being a complete cunt to me, I probably would have been petty as shit. And God after Cynthia. But also at the same time, you know, if you do it, it's not going to make the situation better.
No. And also, I mean, Cynthia, spoiler alert, did land in the bottom. So maybe it, if things had really worked out for JK, Cynthia would have gone home and that would have ended the whole conflict. But right. I would have chosen Neo if I was in the competition against her.
Honestly.
She's the pretty girl who has a lot less experience. She probably has a lot less of experience getting ready in a shithole, you know, like
right.
Send her in there. And I was curious with this. What's the worst place that you've ever had to get ready for drag? Have you ever had like a nightmare get ready situation?
Where all have I gotten ready? I've gotten ready. I don't think I've had any wild places that I've gotten ready. Except for redacted bars, dressing room that was non-existent.
Yeah, but you at least have like a mirror and a light. Yeah.
Yeah, because I'm a diva and I make sure that I have what I need to get ready.
Well, listen, I had a gig one time, and I'm not going to say where it was because it was an out-of-state gig, and I would love to be asked back, but I'm not going to get ready at the bar because the thing that happened was...
I want you to mouth it to me.
I don't think you would know the bar.
I want you to mouth...
Honestly, I don't even remember the name of it, but...
I want you to mouth me the city. I think I know.
What? I know, right? You're probably like, you worked there. Yeah, I know. So anyways, at this particular bar, they told us, yeah, show up. And they gave us like the opportunity to show up 3 hours before the gig. And at that time, I wasn't quite as proficient with getting my makeup on fast.
So it took you like 5 hours to get ready.
It took me, I pretty much was going to use the full three. And I was ready. I was there. I was in like the parking lot waiting. No one showed up. Until like other performers were showing up ready and they were wondering why we were still locked out. It was 45 minutes before the show was supposed to start that the guy who was supposed to get there before showed up and let us in.
Did you not start and getting, then did you get ready in your car while you were waiting?
No, I did not have the know-how to do that at that point in my
life. I've done that before. Like I have like glued my eyebrows down in my car because there's been times that I've gotten ready for brunch at Stardom and gotten there before it's open.
If only you just shaved them off.
No.
Well, but here's the thing. Then we get in and they send me to a back room. Fun, there's nothing in that room. There's no mirror. There's no light.
Was it like an ice room?
No, it was just an empty room. I was like, why are you not using this space? And like, all I had was like my phone and my makeup kit. So I just like set up my phone and did my makeup the best I could in 45 minutes. I did it. And I feel like it really tested me that day. And I got it done. And I felt so proud that I actually looked serviceable that day. But oh my God, I think that prepared me for this. But the thing that would have grossed me out with the porta potty is just the fecal matter and piss. Like, yeah. I don't want to get that in my eye. And she was doing her makeup with her hands. Yeah.
Because I'd be dropping my brushes while I get ready.
Same.
I'm a diva. Most of the time when I'm getting in drag, I like to get it ready in the comfort of a home, not at a venue.
Yeah.
I like to show up to the venue ready because I don't know what these dressing rooms are like because sometimes dressing rooms are a fucking shit show.
I think you'll always look better if you get ready at home, but I am at a point right now where I'm like, I would rather get ready at the venue because then I have to clean it up right after the show.
Oh, that is so
valid. Then I get home and everything's packed.
But when I'm out of town, I still get ready at the hotel though.
Nice. Well, they got ready in the lab, And so we got a little bit of a
slab
view of, yeah, their slabs as they were creating the looks. I didn't feel like there was a whole lot that was notable to talk about aside from Neohuru X's iconic quote.
Pussy.
These pussy lips are silicone. These pussy lips are silicone. And these pussy lips were made in China. Waka waka.
That was so good. That was so good.
I am, okay, full stan, Neohuru X. I am hard claiming right now, Neo for the fucking crown.
I don't think crown, but I think finale.
She better. She better. And better, but I barely know her. Yeah, I think she's a slay. Then they cut to them getting ready, where really the most notable thing was Cynthia getting ready in the porta potty. What'd you think of that?
I loved Blackberry coming up to talk to her.
Same.
And she, Cynthia is really just committing to the show.
Truly.
And I love it. Like, I know this can't all be real. Like, I know she's being dramatic for television's sake.
Yeah.
And I love it because, like, I don't think Cynthia would be screaming as much just to have to get ready. I think in a...
Maybe.
Especially, like, when the alarms went off and she was like, even in here, bitch!
Okay, but I kind of wondered if that was legit. I don't know. But because, like, if you... They send her somewhere far away where she can't hear anyone else and you just hear this alarm, it's like, oh my God, it's out here too? Like, that was pretty funny to me.
But just, like, she kept screaming. Like, there were a lot of times that she screamed and she's like, I ain't even got a light in here. And then they did show that light for the, like, close-up while she was painting when they were doing everybody's close-up. And I'm like, did you really not have a light?
There's a light over in the porta potty. Yeah, I really enjoyed this. And I think this is the most I've enjoyed a getting ready clip from Dragula before.
Because I loved
it gave
when
us
they,
something different.
And I loved when they came in, when they started getting ready, and Fantasia was like, Cynthia! Where are you, girl?
Yeah, same. All right, well, speaking of porta potty, I'm going to go take a shit. So we're going to take a break and we'll be right back.
Hey, y'all. This is Twat Weiland from DIY Productions, a proud sponsor of Miss Magic City Comedy Queen. I'm here to tell you about our next big event as we get ready to ring in the new year. 2023 is almost over, and we're excited to invite you to the New Year's Eve Drag Night at the Nick. We've got not one, but two shows with a stunning lineup of performers. Make Drag Night at the Nick your last show of 2023 and your first show of 2024. In addition to the sickening performances, we'll have a photo booth, giveaways, drink specials, and a champagne toast to help you start your new year in style. Get your tickets now at tiny.cc/NYE_dragnight. That's tiny.cc/NYE_dragnight. Space is limited, so act fast. It's never too early for your New Year's resolution, so make yours Drag Night at the Nick.
That was my impression of the Boulay Brothers laugh. What'd you think? Flop or fawn?
Mama, this is garbage. Oh. Right here.
Good. For the trash can kids theme? Yeah, it better be. All right. Well, it's time for the floor show, you spooky bitches and trash can children. We have our guest judges here who are with the Boulays. First of all, let's talk about this Boulay look.
I need this hair.
Oh my God.
I need this.
This very
hair.
Comic book hair. It's all silver with the black streaks up front. And then the look itself is like this latex, all black. Like what would, I don't know, what would you call those shapes? Like spikes in the chest?
Yeah, like little horns.
Mm-hmm. It's a very horny look. Yeah, they looked amazing.
I want to know how this wig is made.
I don't know.
I wonder if there's a cage.
I wonder if when they like turn around, if it looks like
yeah,
shit.
I want to see it from the back. I need to see the
yeah.
wig from the back.
Yo, Boulays, can we hit it from the back?
Hit it from the back.
Don't sing anymore. We can't afford the copyright.
It's okay. I'll get to hear it live.
Oh, good for you. Record it on your phone and then we'll play it on the pod.
Slay.
So, if it's your first time listening to Flapping and Fawning, we have a very sophisticated system here for whether we like or dislike these looks. If we like it, it's a...
fawn.
If we don't like it, it's a...
flop.
And if it's the best thing we've ever seen, it's a...
fetch.
Stop trying to make fetch happen. It's not going to happen.
And baby, for me, these two looks are a fetcherina.
Same.
Okay, slay.
Stop trying to make fetch happen. It's not going to happen.
Oh my God, you better work, Boulez. You look
so fucking
good.
I just need that hair.
Honestly, it looks really, really good. And you need new hair, so... the way you weren't scalped. Expecting this, like, literally wig snatched. Okay, and then our guest judges are Matthew Lillard, who is the star of the original Scream movie, and also they played Shaggy in the live action Scooby-Doo, which I think was my first recognition of this human.
He is a part of a lot of people's bisexual awakenings, because the live action Fair. Scooby-Doo movies are a part of a lot of people's bisexual awakening.
Yeah. It's interesting how Scooby-Doo will do that to you. It's a byproduct of that.
I guess they like doggy style too.
I can tell. Speaking of someone who likes doggy style, Landon Sider was here, who is the winner of Dracula Season 3. So I was really excited to see him, especially for them to have a king on the judges panel.
Right.
You know, that's something that
it's also kind of unprecedented to have, like, a winner of a show become a mainstay judge.
Yeah, I mean, he's been there a couple times now, right?
Yes, but, like, now he is going to be a rotating judge, like a recurring
oh,
judge.
Oh, that's right. That was announced.
A recurring
yeah.
judge.
I love that. He got that same sort of role on Call Me Mother on Out TV right. for Season 2, which, unfortunately, has been canceled.
Wait, it got canceled?
It did, yeah. I know. Isn't that sad? Also, though, I didn't like a lot of things about the format, so maybe it's for the best. But
yeah, Season 2 was kind of garbo.
Yeah, but Landon...
there was a lot of good drag, though.
There was. Drag is always amazing. It's the production that usually fails them. Anyways, but Landon was... I was really excited to see him here, and it's... you know, this is what we've talked about with things like Camp Wanakiki. Like, if you're going to have kings, you need people who understand that perspective.
Right.
Who are judging you, or else it's difficult to really justify placements. So I really appreciated him, and I think his specific critiques were really, really useful this episode.
Yes. We'll get into that when we get to the critiques, but a lot of those critiques were phenomenal.
Mm-hmm. And now, since Landon is going to be a recurring judge, should we fawn or flop him as well?
I don't feel like saying anything mean about this look right now, so I'm going to say not.
Oh, you don't like
episode.
The do you not like the look?
I don't hate the look, but I don't love the look.
Okay, fair. He's a judge, so it doesn't really matter.
It's like the different red for the pants and the boots and the snakeskin gloves, like all the different reds, I don't live. Especially for it to be like different types of leather and patent, I don't live for it together.
Oh my God, are you flopping Landon Sider right now?
I'm
the first drag king winner of a major television drag reality competition. You're flopping
from
Landon
the waist
Sider.
Up, it's great.
Wow. Okay, which is what matters when you're a judge.
Right.
I like it overall. I mean, I don't have anything too high to praise of it with, but
from the waist up, it's fantastic. I do love those shoes, though.
All right, well, we'll avoid rating it for now, but Landon, in future appearances, you may not be safe. Next to the stage, we have Blackberry. What'd you think of this look? How'd you describe it?
She was like a sour berry girly.
Yeah.
Oh, before we get into this, since the category is
Trash can children.
There's like a few things that like I'm going to be looking for when flopping and fawning these.
Okay.
Because like, first of all, it's got to have filth. It's a filth challenge. It's got to have some of that like childlike nature. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Because that's like a key part of it. And like a little bit of like a cartoony nature of it. Because also like that's... the inspiration is cartoonish children, so like I expect both of those kind of things, as well as I just expect it to be a good look. So, like, there's a lot of requirements for this challenge, which makes it very difficult.
I think that's fair.
There are a lot of good looks. And just because somebody doesn't hit all four of those doesn't mean I'm going to flop it. Those are just, like, the baseline things that I'm...
That you're kind of looking for.
Yeah.
I feel that. I think that this challenge does call for some specific things to look for. But I'm not going to flop one just because it doesn't have one of those things, personally.
If it doesn't have, like, two of those things, I might.
Okay. All right. That's fine. Well, next, first up to the stage, we have Blackberry. And she is really living up to her drag name with these, like, Blackberry pimples that are on her. I thought this was a really creative...
I wish, like, their names had been more clear of, like, what their little alliteration names were.
It would have been nice if they had done... You know how, like, okay, that Drag Race Season 9 challenge where they had to, like, make, like, a character to their princess? Like, if they did something similar
princess
where they...
Princess Disasterina.
Yeah, like, they read it as their character. And it was like, Blackberry... I don't know, something with the name.
Well, like,
Blackberry
some of them
Betty.
Had names and not all of them did.
Exactly. Yeah, I wish they all had that requirement. But
that was, like, part of the requirement in the, like, thing they said.
Yeah, but it may have gotten cut, you know? They have to cut these things down a lot. So
I wanted to hear it.
Same. Blackberry, I know that with this dress, did it look familiar to you at all? It was made by the same designer that designed Muffy Vanderbilt's looks on Camp Wanakiki, because she is also a Houston girl.
Slay.
So I was like, oh, this looks very Muffy. I could see this on her. And I really, really liked what Blackberry did here. I love the shapes in the hair that kind of give me that same Blackberry vibe.
Yeah.
The purple zits. My only qualm with this performance was instead of, like, for her filth, she, like, puked blueberry juice, and I thought that was a very strange choice. I really wanted to see her pop the blueberry pimples, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I was a little let down. I was, like, excited to see, like, this 3D effect of, like, the pimple squirting, the juice squirting right at the camera, like, almost like I should be wearing 3D glasses, and that didn't happen.
For a filth-focused challenge, I would have enjoyed a little more filth with it.
Yeah.
I think there is filth here.
Totally.
I'm not saying there's not. I think this is, like, perfect for the challenge. Hit all the marks. I don't think it was the most exciting thing, but I think it hit every mark.
But, you know, I almost wish that they had switched the theme for episode 1 and 2, because I feel people were able to more successfully incorporate their drag into this kind of a theme than, like, a woodland theme. Does that make sense? Like, Blackberry here. We're getting blackberries. That makes sense.
Yeah.
There's someone else too. I really love what they did. Anyways,
what would you have done?
Okay. I'm not sure. I haven't thought a whole lot about this, but the first thing I thought was, like, eating food off the ground, you know? And so I would have, like, probably a stack of pancakes or flapjacks and drop them with, like, syrup on them. And then they, like, get something gross stuck to them and eat it. That was my first thought. So probably not the best concept, but I think it makes sense.
Nice.
What would you do?
I've got a look that's been sketched for me that I think could have easily been tweaked for this that I haven't made yet. That is, like...
Are you going to give us a little teaser? Or are you going to keep it a
secret? It's very centered around candy.
Okay.
That I think would have been pretty sly for this.
Your candy ass.
Well, yeah.
Okay, so...
I'll give you a cavity.
Flop or fawn for Blackberry?
Definitely a fawn.
It is a fawn for me as well. Great job, Blackberry. Next up, we have Orc Gotic. What'd you think?
I love Hemorrhoid Gotic.
Okay.
Let me tell you, there is something about Orc that when Orc is on my screen, I am so encaptured and enamored and obsessed with.
Yeah.
Like, Orc's personality and delivery on the runways. For Orc and Neo to not be the most experienced performance-wise on this cast, they've both been...
They've thought through, like, step by step.
Like, performing very well.
Mm-hmm.
I love the hemorrhoid. The little, like, reveal for the butt was camp as fuck.
Okay.
And the shit coming out of a mouth.
Yeah, really gross.
Iconic.
Mm-hmm.
I lived. And like the Boulay said, the shape of the head is really what gave it that, like, Garbage Pail Kid vibe.
Okay.
So I lived.
Cool.
I think this definitely did deserve to be in the top.
One of the critiques that Swan gave that I think, and I wrote the word down like on my outline,
piecemeal,
because I was not familiar with what that meant. I looked it up, and I think that it perfectly describes what I think is going to be Orcotic's downfall and why I think I'm struggling to really be on board the Orc train. Especially when he turned around and showed the butt, it was like, that is just something taped to your butt. Yeah. And that's,
I think execution could have been cleaner.
And I feel that Orc to me just isn't meeting in my opinion, the most important tenet, which is drag. And like, I think that there are some drag things he could have done, like using padding to accentuate his body to then insert the huge hemorrhoid gag, like I to make it look less piecemeal. That really turned me away from this. It grossed me out. Totally filth. I don't see the whole thing with the cartoonish
shape of
vibe.
The head is like perfect for it.
Yeah, but nothing else is. And I don't know. It's really just not hitting it for me. I know a lot of people love Orc, so I'm just being a huge hater. And I don't mean, I'm sorry, I don't mean to be. But it was a flop for me.
Well, he was in the top.
He was.
2 weeks in a row.
He was. And so he's a huge threat. Yeah.
So
he's probably going to go very far and do really well. Yeah. But it ain't for me, mama.
Well, it is for me. And I am going to give Orcotic a Fawn.
Okay.
I almost gave a Fetch.
That's fine. I mean, you can do whatever you want with your ratings, and that can be between you and your God. But I am not going to lie on this day. I was like, okay. But the poop thing, like coming out of the mouth, I am not a poo-poo pee-pee gag person. That's not for me.
You're not a poo-poo pee-pee gag person, but your story for Camp Spirit was about pissing in a lake.
Yeah, but the look wasn't. Like, yeah. It's just, I don't know.
I only want the pee when it's in the bedroom.
Precisely. And I say, when there's a drain involved. And I say that because, I mentioned that because he had that poop like dangling from the mouth. It literally made my stomach turn.
I hated it. It was iconic.
Yeah. It hated it in a good way because it gave me a reaction.
It was so good.
Next up we have JK. What did you think of this one?
JK once again has some of the most fascinating makeup to me.
Mm-hmm.
The whole like cum themed. I live. With the huge arm from jacking off. I know you don't love this. I really liked this. I thought it was well thought out. It gave me that cartoony vibe.
You think this, out of other things that could be on this show, deserves airtime?
Yeah.
Absolutely not. This is the same concept that we saw last week. It's not that gross to me. I mean, I'm surprised you didn't think it's filth because you love having cum on your face. Waka waka. it's just not there. It's also very piecemeal. And honestly, that word, it's kind of changed my life. I'm like, oh my God, there's a word for this. It doesn't feel like it's all put together. That arm looks not like a good prop. Like it just looks really homemade to me and unbelievable. It's really giving inexperience, in my opinion. And I just don't think it makes sense for them to bring this person back over someone potentially getting exterminated later on that really would deserve to stay. So
I'm fine with it.
Okay. Well, it's
a fawn for me.
And it's a splat for me. Flop. Next up we have Onyx on dicks.
And Onyx comes out as
come.
No, that was JK.
And another one.
Onyx is a derby girl without a derby girl number, just wearing some overalls and a t-shirt leg.
Did she say in her description that she's a derby girl?
Yeah.
Okay. I watched it twice and I forgot to listen for that both times. Okay.
I think it might be in her like character's name. It's like Derby Deborah or something like that.
That would make sense. I mean, because I definitely got Skater Kid from this, and I could imagine this on a card.
It's one of those things. It's from a card.
It's just too. It's not enough of it.
It's way too literal. It's way too literal.
I think that there are some things she could have done to potentially save herself, you know, such as adding the number. I actually assumed that she did what I'm about to say with the leg, and I didn't even look at her legs until my second viewing.
I thought
I thought that the one of her legs was tucked up in her
thing, she did.
And she used like a prosthetic leg, you know, and that's why she was holding the leg, I thought, but apparently not. That would have made a lot more sense to me.
Her stories don't make sense. Because I can't remember if it was on the show or if it was on the recap thing, the little exit thing that Fangora does. She explained it. And I was just like, this still don't make sense.
I don't know.
Think she thinks through her concepts.
I got what she was doing, though, from the look. It was the leg that threw me off. I was like, I'm really surprised you didn't think to put like a prosthetic leg on your leg.
I like get what she's going for. But the Boulets do have a good point of like, we don't know who Onyx is,
mm-hmm.
because like of the three things that we've seen, I haven't seen a through line, if that makes sense. Granted, it's only three looks, but also if she claimed I think they had a really good point in the fact of if she claims to be a circus performer and has all these circus tricks, this would have been the perfect challenge for it.
It really would have been. Yeah.
It's one of those things that hits the challenge. I don't really see a lot of filth in it, personally.
For me, I mean, I know she took her tooth out, and that I hate like body porn like that. Like that was really intense to me. For me, I am gonna flop it because I think that particularly, I literally just assumed that you would think, let me put a prosthetic leg on this, so it's clear I'm holding my leg, and for you to have like these three leg situation. It was just a huge oversight. So, yeah, it is a flop for me.
Yeah.
Onyx.
I think I'm going to have to flop it.
Sorry, Onyx. I did think it was cool that they used the icing.
The cannoli thing.
That was really
smart.
And I think that takes it to a draggy place for me to have that. But unfortunately,
I think there was just like just a little really bit more missing. That could have been done.
Agreed. Next up, we had Throb Zombie. Thoughts?
In my opinion, this is the epitome of this challenge.
Oh, yep, same.
I don't think there was a dispute for who could have won this challenge because it captures that kind of like creepy cute of a garbage pail kid, because there was always a cuteness factor, but always this like twisted dimension of it. And when I first saw Throb, I was like, where's the filth? Where's the like grossness? Just seeing it from like breast up.
Yeah.
And then it wasn't until I saw the scooping of the intestines and I said, oh, fuck yes.
Yeah.
Fuck yes. Like, it was like, it hit the nail on the fucking head. This is how you do this challenge. I was obsessed. Also, the headpiece.
Yeah.
It's fucking fierce.
That's what I was going to say. A lot of times I think people don't like foam wigs, and I'm obviously a fan of them. And I think this is the perfect use of one.
Absolutely.
You know, like when you're doing like a cartoon look, that there's nothing else that'll take you to that place. Also, another stomach turn moment, and usually it's just poop.
Stomach turn?
It's usually just poop for me. That is like, oh my god, I hate that we're like looking at poop right now. It's it was when he like put the ice cream scoop in his gut and like turned. I literally had a reaction. So that anytime I have a reaction like that, it's major for me. That's a huge fetch.
Same.
Stop trying to make fetch happen. It's not going to happen.
Honestly, like, it was one of those things that it also gives, because it gives such childlike, it also kind of gave genderless in a way, you know what I mean?
Mm.
Which Throb is also known to dabble in queen stuff.
Yeah.
So I lived.
That's fair. Yeah. I totally could see that. Awesome. So next up we had Anaphylactic.
Do you know what this was supposed to be?
I don't get it at all. Maybe in the fact that in the same way that bananas peel, she was peeling.
Yeah.
But
because when she came out and was doing that little campy dance, I was like, okay, I don't know what's going to happen, but I kind of live.
Yeah.
With this,
I enjoyed
little
the
dance.
But this was not good to me. It just felt like a lot of, I mean, her walking out was the best part of it. Yeah.
Also, it was, here's the thing.
It felt a little confused and...
It's messy as fuck. And not in a filth way.
Yeah. And the for me, the reveal, what are we revealing to? It's just like a little yellow bra and panty with this black corset that's obviously there. It doesn't look like it's supposed to. And then you didn't use all your props. I don't understand.
This is something that I'm going to get into with another person coming up as well. But with the prosthetic on the face... There is so little done to this prosthetic.
We're not talking about the mask, right? We're talking about...
The prosthetic on the face, the red. The black is so haphazardly put on.
That's a prosthetic. Okay.
Yeah.
I did not realize that was a prosthetic.
It's messy as fuck. And if there's anything I hate, it's ruining a good prosthetic. Because it's not even that the application's terrible, but like... The coloring of it is so fucking bad. And that's what really, like, kind of with the wig coming off and the mask coming off, like, not the way it was supposed to. That's kind of what was, like, the final nail in the coffin for me for this look. This is... Mama.
Mama, this is garbage.
Oh. Right here. That's where I'm at.
Yeah, this one's a huge flop for me. I was not a fan of this. Didn't get what was going on. Cleaned it up. But is it a fawn or flop for you?
It's a...
Oh, it's Mama, this is garbage. Worse than a flop. Oh, my God. Well, next up to the stage, we have Fantasia Royale Gaga doing sort of a similar skin theme, I guess. But
plastic surgery.
All plastic surgery, yeah.
The thing that's been done time and a time again in drag.
I'm glad that you felt that way as well. It was just kind of like, okay.
Where's the kid in this?
Yeah, and what would you call the kid? Like Botox Betty? I don't know.
Nip Tuck Natalia?
I don't know.
Nip Tuck Nikki?
I one thing I did like was I thought that it was cool that the skin had been peeled off in like a fashionable way. That was kind of neat.
The look is well done. I think it's well done. I just don't like it for this challenge at all.
Well, I feel that she missed some details here. So in that neckline is very distracting to me.
Wait, hold on. Now that I'm looking at this
like,
closer.
Yeah, I don't.
Hold on.
I actually think there's a lot of big issues
hold on.
With this. Like, and I
the
think
neck
that she could
is great.
Easily cover. Yeah, I think the neck is the issue for me. Like her bandages on her face. I wish that it just kind of like wrapped
Here's
around her
thing.
Neck to cover the neckline of that airbrushed bodysuit.
Hold on. What I'm calling seeing? Some fucking bullshit here.
What are you seeing?
This bodysuit she's got on underneath this is an Amazon bodysuit. The same thing they were calling JK out for wearing Amazon. Oh. The same thing on Titans they called Eva Destruction out for having the Amazon wire bodysuit underneath her shit. She's got it, but got away with it.
So that's an Amazon bodysuit?
Yeah, you can buy those meat skin, like the muscle... bodysuits off Amazon.
Well, I do feel that she's customized this, but
Eva wore a bunch of shit over hers, and hers was just an underpiece on everything, and she got called out for it.
I'm not remembering the difference, like what that look was.
It was like her like robot or whatever. I don't think it was like the best look ever, but the fact that that was like one of the big things they pointed out for it,
yeah,
is something that like sticks out in my mind. I'm just like judge consistently, especially if I don't feel like this fits the like.
What it probably is that there were people worse enough for this to not be the biggest infraction.
Yeah.
But
this
must be something about it must be custom, right? Like, because I'm sure that the Amazon doesn't say 5,000 cc like that.
No, I agree. However, like everybody that's gotten called out for the Amazon thing has customized the Amazon piece, but they still get called out for the Amazon nature of it.
Yeah, I think Fantasia is someone who they need to give an extermination opportunity to so that she gets a fire under her ass to turn it around.
Because I want her to do well.
We just haven't had that creativity.
Her.
Me too.
She makes great TV. I like her, but I want more from her because I know she can do it. And even the Boulets are saying that they want more from her.
Yeah.
I'm going to be honest. There's a lot of people that I was really excited for going into this season. That
not
so
delivering.
Far I am underwhelmed by.
Same.
And I don't know if it's like they said, they're some of these people are trying to play that like sneak attack strategy, but sometimes that sneak attack strategy is going to get you sent fucking home.
But also, how can you even do that? You don't know what the challenge order is right. until you get there, right? Like, you may know what the first, what
first
one, is,
one was, but that's it. But it's just like, I don't know. I also don't really think body horror is as much filth as it would be horror.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And this is very body horror. Do you remember what she did for her filth portion? I personally don't.
Because it wasn't memorable.
Yeah. So it's going to be a flop for me. Sorry, Fantasia.
Agreed.
Double flops from us. Why don't you take this next one?
Next up, we have Cynthia Dahl, fresh out of the Teletubby toilet bowl porta potty.
Ow, ow!
As, was it Method Molly?
Oh, I don't remember. She looks surprisingly good for having done her makeup in the in the porta potty, I feel. And so she, I like this overall moment with the wide hips. That's fun.
Agreed. I really like the overalls. I think the makeup is well done. However, that's about where I have anything stops. I think the Boulets had a very good point, and addiction is a hard sell. You've got to hit it in a very specific way, and it's got to be done extremely carefully.
Yeah, I don't think I quite got meth from it, like, unless she had the crack.
She did.
You know, and no, she did, I know, but if that wasn't there, like, what else am I supposed to read that with, you know?
It's just,
and
like,
I think that there are things that could have been done to take it to another level that we're missing.
And it's like, not saying that you can't do things that are drug related or stuff like that. It's just when you're it's not always the best look to make a mockery of addiction, which totally. Is essentially what this was.
Yeah.
I think the look itself is great.
I
think she could have done a trailer park Tammy and ditched the meth pipe, and this would have been fine.
Yeah, fair. I wonder, though, if either she told a story and it got cut, or if she just didn't take the opportunity she should have earlier to tell the story because she was in the porta potty. About, because this was a personal story to her, right?
Yeah.
I think I would have just liked to have understood it more from her mouth holes to our ear holes, you know? Yeah. But I honestly, compared to some others, and when I just looked at it, I didn't hate it. So it's a light fawn for me. It's not a total flop.
I think for me, if I pull the like meth part out of it out, it's a fawn, but the like meth part makes it not a fawn.
So what would you rate it?
I'm rating the look a fawn, but the whole thing a flop. All right. That makes sense.
So I'm giving it a flop. Yeah. All right. Next to the stage, we had Jarvis Hammer. I was so thrilled with this.
Really?
Yes. Because and this is why I say I was worried about Jarvis after last week. I really did not like his presentation. But this week, I felt that he perfectly encapsulated his character into the challenge. I think I never would have thought like to make the comparison of like sperm to the tale of a sperm to the tale of like a Casper the Friendly Ghost type of thing. And I thought that was just so funny. You know, cum is not something that really grosses me out all that much, but I got it for what it was, and I liked it because of that. So I don't know. What do you think?
It was not my favorite.
Okay.
I don't really like the look. Like, the look itself.
Yeah.
I don't like it. And I think execution could have been better.
Head to toe velvet. He must have been sweating up a storm, baby.
And it's not that I have a problem with the material either. It's just something about the like ghost tail with the feet was a little odd. I don't know.
Oh, that's what I really liked.
It was a hard sell for me. I love Jarvis. I'm a Jarvis stan. I want Jarvis to do well. I did not live for this personally.
Oh.
But I think this was like safe.
I really thought he was going to be on the top for this. It was one of my faves.
I was not impressed.
It's a big fawn for me.
It's a...
Do it.
It's like, also...
Don't be biased.
Where is the fucking, like... Garbage Pail Kid in this?
I totally see a garbage pail. Like, this is the most cartoony one out of all of them, probably.
But where's, like, the childlike nature of it?
I could totally... Like, a little... smiling sperm ghost like on a card. I really think it's there. This made perfect sense to me. It probably could have gotten grosser, but I don't know.
Filth doesn't always have to be in your face growth. Filth can also be like depravity.
Yeah.
Which is the kind of filth Jarvis was going for.
I totally see. It's very, there's lots of cartoony features. In fact, that is just a literal cartoon cutout. Like Casper the Friendly Ghost, that's his tail right there.
Maybe you're talking me around to fawning it, so I'm going to give it a fawn.
Okay.
Even though I don't like the look, I don't know why. I don't like that look.
I was really impressed. And maybe it was a me thing, because when my husband and I watched this together, he wasn't like crazy about it, but he didn't hate it or anything. It was just... I was just unusually excited about it. And so, like,
I'm saying
so
this when Jarvis is like my favorite person on cast. Okay. And I'm like feeling conflicted about it.
Well, hey, maybe he should move to my roster. You want to trade? I'll give you Satana. Next up, we have Neo Huru X. Thoughts?
This is one of the best things that I've ever seen on Dragula.
Uh-huh.
Here's the thing, like, if I was judging this on, like, how it fit the challenge, I don't think she should have been in the top because of it didn't have any Garbage Pail Kid nature at all. However, it's such a fucking incredible look and unlike anything we've seen before. Because, like, week one, Onyx was in the top, or Onyx was in the bottom for not fitting the challenge and had a good look, but it wasn't, like, something unique and special.
Mm. This is truly
special. But this
special.
Is like so unique and special and so fucking well executed. However, Landon had a perfect critique with the spider webs about ditch the fake cobwebs from the Halloween store. I think Landon was absolutely right, and that kind of like detracted from the look.
I actually... I'm glad that you brought this up because I feel differently. I felt that I didn't agree with Landon in that.
No, I think...
Well, because if you think about a spider...
A spider doesn't get caught in its own web.
Yeah, but like, I think if she didn't have it, they would have been like, where's the web? You know what I mean?
I don't think they would have. They didn't with Coco on Titans.
Did she not have a spider? I guess.
And I think she could have, like, pulled spider web out of her, like, belly.
Pussy lips.
All of her pussies, but, like... I don't think she needed it like everywhere because it distracted from some of the like ornate detail. Like she covered that 3D printed thing that had all this detail, covered it with this cheap Halloween store cobweb. That being said, I'm still going to give this a fetch.
Yeah.
Stop trying to make fetch.
I just think
it's not going to happen.
It would have been so much better without that cobweb.
It's a fetch for me as well, but I don't know. I just really disagree. It didn't feel cheap to me because of the cobweb, and it's like if you do
a fucking live for this and the pussy lips on the mouth.
It's,
oh my god!
It's like if you do a dog look, you're gonna expect a bone. If you do a cat look, you're gonna expect certain cat
things. I expect
things, you know?
Eight legs from a spider look, not spider webs.
Okay, all right. I mean, I am not the winner of Dragula, so...
I expect
Landon
a
can
thorax
say
with eight legs.
A thorax?
Yeah.
Dr. Seuss?
Isn't a thorax what it's called?
Yeah, you're right. I'm just messing with you.
You're talking about the Lorax.
I sure am. Next up, and finally, we have... Satana as the devil. I wasn't crazy about this.
It
and
took
in fact,
me so long to figure out what the filth was.
Yeah. And to
I had to watch this back three times.
And to be honest, I really wish she just got eliminated last week because it was like, what? I forgot that she was there. But when Neo comes out and that's the finale, I was like, work, bitch. This is done. And then Satana comes and I'm like, oh, this is a very forgettable
and
look.
What I was talking about with Anna doing bad detailing on the prosthetic. Saitana did no detailing on this prosthetic. There are like lines built into this that it's easy to like follow along and do some at least light shading and highlighting to, because when you have this like rigid texture, it's not going to be matte one tone. You've got to add some color into that and add some dimension to it, because especially when you're just like making it a matte red all over, that's not going to read on camera. It's not going to read on stage. It's not even going to read up close. And if it does, it's just going to look like you're like balloon red. Like it doesn't, I think the makeup on this is so fucking terrible. I think it's applied beautifully.
Yeah.
I think it's applied beautifully. I just think the makeup needed more, and I think the look needed more.
Yeah, the look is more for me where the issue is, because, I mean, it's really just the outfit. I think you could have done a lot more creatively with it to make it read hell or devil or something relevant. It's just,
and then, like, eating the tampon seemed really random with it. I thought she should have been in the bottom.
Yeah.
Well, actually,
I don't know. There's a few that could have been in the bottom, and honestly, the two that were not it for me. Just in comparison, I think. So, but we'll get into that in the placements.
Looking back, I think I might would have put her in the bottom, but I don't know how I would have taken out.
So, is Saitana a flop or a fawn for you?
Mega flop.
Same here. Sorry, Saitana. And we'll be right back to talk some more shit.
And we are back just in time for judgment.
Bum, bum, bum.
And it turns out our top three of the week are Throb Zombie, Neo Hulu X, and Orc Gothic.
Oh, ow! And
it's Neo's and Orc's second week in a row in the top.
It would be so fierce to me if I feel like Orc is your favorite, Neo is my favorite, if they like went all the way to the finale and it came down to those two, you know.
That would be pretty sly.
It would work really well for our roster.
I told Mark last night, I was like, watch these two be the ones that don't have the stage experience as much as everybody else, and
double elimination.
And I said, Monsters of Rock, watch them be the bottom two for Monsters of Rock.
I know, that's what's scary to me. They announced is Safe Saitana, Blackberry, Fantasia, Jarvis, and JK. And that means the bottom is Anaphylactic, Cynthia Doll, and Onyx on Dix. Did you agree with all these placements?
Looking back, I would have probably made this a bottom four.
If you're not in the top, you're in the bottom.
And kept this bottom three that we had and put Saitana down there.
Yeah.
I made it a bottom four.
You wouldn't have put JK in that bottom?
No.
Okay. I really just feel that JK's was worse than everyone's here.
I don't think so.
When you look to everybody on the stage.
I don't think so.
And it was just something that had already been done before. So for me, JK, like that they had pretty much done before with the s'mores. I think it was just unfortunate probably that it went back to back like that for them.
And one was cum, one was s'mores.
Yeah. But I've seen this happen a few times with people on other shows where it's like their looks get replicated by other people. And usually it's like, oh, well, that's unfortunate for that person. But I also think that shouldn't be ignored, because I think it can speak to the originality of the people that are picking the same ideas. And just to have two back to back that have been done by other people and done better by other people, it doesn't look good for JK, in my opinion. We find out those, and Throb Zombie is announced as the winner, which I totally agree with.
Yeah, no question.
Yeah, I think that they're the one who absolutely the best, pulled in all the different elements, gave me a guttural reaction, pun intended, to their performance.
Which leaves our bottom three being Anaphylactic, Cynthia Doll, and Onyx on Dix.
Now, Anna is announced as Safe,
which I thought was horseshit. I said put all three of them up for extermination.
if you had to pick only two of those three,
I can't.
Who would you go? You can't or won't?
I thought all three of them.
Okay. I definitely think Anna deserved to be in the bottom. I felt that Onyx and Cynthia were not worse than Anna or JK. So I thought neither of them should be, but hey, that's just me. One thing that was a little strange that carried over into the boudoir and was Throb's reaction to winning.
Well, and it's kind of like Neo's reaction last week too, because Neo was really shy after winning and be like, you know, there's that like, she was like, well, it could be a first episode curse. Of like winning the first episode, how?
Well, that wasn't last week, right? That was at the beginning of this episode. So
did she not say it at the end of last week?
Because last week I remember she was jumping, and I know she doesn't speak as much, and I wonder how much of it is a language barrier and how much is not. But I Throb like literally shrinking behind the couch, like that was much farther than Neo's reaction was in Shyness. That was a little odd. Yeah. Why do you think that is?
Celebrate yourself, bitch.
I was glad JK said the thing about like celebrating yourself doesn't take away from anyone else.
Right.
Because, you earned that win. You should be really pumped.
It
kind of irritated me in a way. It was like,
honestly,
no.
Yeah, like celebrate yourself.
Everyone else here wants to have that win, you know?
Those people, surely, when Throb was not celebrating himself, quickly changed the subject.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was so fucking out of pocket and out of left field to throw fucking JK under the bus.
Really?
Here's the thing. If the judges fucking call somebody safe, bitching about it doesn't change anything. Dogpiling on them because you don't want to say who you think actually should go home between the people that are down there. Because that's then the easy answer. Because it started with Neo and Orc being like, oh, I'm surprised you weren't in the bottom two. And then Jarvis chiming in. And then Blackberry chiming in. And
I will say I felt bad for JK by the end of this. Because at the very end, there's a very brief shot. And I like rewinded it several times in my last viewing. It looks like JK was like pushed to the point of tears. And I don't think that's right. You know, like you shouldn't be making them feel bad at that point.
It's not their fault that they're safe.
Right. You know, like, and I think you could say, I don't think you two deserve to be in the bottom. I think it should have been y'all.
I don't think it matters who you think should have been in the bottom because you're not a fucking judge. I hate this shit on Drag Race. I hate it on Camp. I hate it on Dragula. If you're not on the fucking judges panel and you're a competitor, it doesn't give a fucking shit what you think because you're not the one making the decision.
Yeah, but you can speak to it. I would if I was frustrated by that. I
can understand being frustrated with somebody not winning. But like being frustrated with somebody not being in the bottom, bitch, you're safe.
Yeah, but
mind your fucking business.
But if you're the one who's in the bottom and you see this,
it's not the people that were in the bottom that said it though.
Okay.
It was high and safe people. It was Orc, Jarvis, Blackberry, and Neo.
I think Cynthia did say something.
Yeah, but that was after she came in because it started with Orc and Neo before Cynthia even came in.
Yeah.
And then Cynthia came in and they were asking who they thought should be in the bottom.
There's nothing productive that can come from that.
Right.
But
and like
I
Cynthia came in.
But there's a point like when you're in those rooms where someone says like, okay, let's go around and talk about each other's looks. And I think that's natural to come up and be like, I'm shocked you weren't in the bottom.
But also at the same time, Cynthia came in after Orc and Neo had already said something. And JK had just been like, at that point, you could tell JK was just like, I'm not going to try to get into anything. People say that I'm too much. I'm not going to try to get into anything. Cynthia comes in guns a-blazing and is just and asks JK what JK thought. And JK gave a short answer. And Cynthia got upset that she got a short answer, which is valid.
Mm.
But also like that then escalated the dogpiling on JK. And thank God Throb went over there. So it wasn't a huge dogpile. Everybody against JK. At least JK had one person looking out for them.
Yeah, I guess so.
Because then it just was like everybody saying JK's name. And I'm like, what productive does this do? Y'all are like asking who you think is going to go home. And you're saying somebody that's not even eligible to go home. You're avoiding the question. Taking the easy answer that everybody else has already said.
Yeah. I don't know. I said it at the beginning. I'll say it now. I think that it was a big mistake to bring JK back at this point.
I don't.
It's just, Yeah, like why? They voted at the beginning, and it just seems clear that
I don't think it matters what the contestants think.
But the only other thing that I felt that was interesting that happened in the boudoir was Onyx seemed to just figure out who they were or who she is a little too late. You know, talking about that she is a side stage showgirl in that moment. So that was a little sad to see. And then we get into the extermination, which was moving worms and maggots from a bucket to a measuring cup using only their mouths. So how do you think you would do with an extermination like this?
Apparently these like maggots or whatever were so big that they had mouths and they were biting the inside of their mouths as they were doing it.
Oh, where did you hear that?
On Onyx's exit interview for the Fangora thing.
Oh, shit. Them biting their mouths?
Yeah.
I wondered if this was like...
There was also shit in it. Like the maggot bugs. Shit.
That makes sense. I wondered if the... if this might be like animal cruelty in a way, you know, like those little living creatures, and now they don't want to be picked up by anybody's mouth, you know, they're biting because they're scared. So I was not crazy about this one. But it also wasn't one that really scared me or grossed me out in a way. Cause
this one grossed me out.
Yeah. How would you rate it on our out of 10 scare factor?
What did I rate the last one?
The last one, the
was that an 8?
Bungee jumping was an 8.
I'd probably rate this like an 8.5.
Really? This is worse to you?
Yeah.
Honestly, I'm going to give this one a 4. This does not scare me. I have.
Are you saying that just so you don't have to do it?
No, I swear to God. Like I watched this and it really didn't gross me out. I've always been the friend who's like,
you're fine with moving and like bugs with your mouth, but you're not fine.
I have had
with scooping out your guts.
I've had much worse things.
You're
in
fine
mouth.
With real bugs in your mouth, but you're not fine with fake guts.
No, I don't. Anything that's like on your like that's like harming your body, that just feels like, oh, that'd be really painful. That really grosses me out. But or yeah, that like
that's wild
makes me not want
to
do it. Bugs don't scare me. They really
the,
don't.
Like,
and I think it's because I was in Boy Scouts growing up. You know, like I've always
that's
been the
so
friend who's like, oh my god, there's a cockroach. Like or people will be like, oh my god, there's a cockroach. I'm like, I got you. You know,
like let the me fact move that the like room. Throb and orcs made your stomach churn or whatever this week.
I don't like poop. That's I don't know why.
Like the fact that both of those got you, but like the fucking bugs didn't. That's wild to me.
Really? Yeah. I mean, did Neo's make your stomach turn as like a bug?
No, but I knew it was a fake bug.
Fair. Yeah. No, I don't know. Bugs don't.
It's not that it's a bug. It's the bug going in my mouth.
Like if I had the option of a maggot being in my mouth or not, I would choose not. But
really?
But yeah. But it's just it, having to do this one. Doesn't scare me as much as like bungee jumping would. That because I feel like you could actually die with this. It's like worst thing that's gonna happen is a bug bites you in the mouth and it heals in 2 weeks. Like, yeah.
I feel like this one it was also personally I find this a little more like dangerous, considering like
than bungee jumping.
Yeah.
Do you know how many people have died bungee jumping just from like a minor accident?
No.
You know what? Actually, I've just realized the incompetence of other people is why I am scared of bungee jumping. If they don't hook me on, if something's wrong with that rope, if they don't check it, I'm dead. You know? But this is like, it's bugs. I'm in
full
control.
But there's like poop. You could like literally get sick.
But I'm probably not going to die. We have modern medicine.
Yeah, but I'd rather die than get sick. You know?
At whatever floats your boat.
If that bungee cord snaps, I'm not going to be like, you know what I mean? Like,
no, you're going to, well, that's what's going to happen.
I'm going to die.
You're going to go, ah, and then it's
right.
So anyways, that brings us to our fantasy fag roster at the end of the episode, with Fawn still having 5 folks and I still have 5 folks. And we both have a win on each of ours, although it doesn't matter. I think it's nice to keep track. Throb has 1 win on Fawn's roster, and Neo has 1 win on mine.
You've got...
JK's been resurrected, and Onyx is dead.
You've got one person that hasn't... You've got 2 people that haven't been in the bottom.
2 people that haven't been... Yeah.
One of which has not been in the top or bottom.
And
I only have 1 person that's been in the bottom.
And hey, if I can have one that rides all the way up to the top, that's Lays.
Rides? Pop.
I hope she does. Look, we had pussy lip in this episode. I ain't worried about riding and topping. All right. So,
drugs make this kitty go purr.
Uh-huh.
I've been listening to Slater's new album this week.
Oh, is that what that's from?
Yeah.
I didn't.
Drugs make this kitty go purr.
That's what Cynthia should have said. Okay, so for the extermination, I thought this was a pretty cool one. We see Onyx. So it seems like they're sticking with this black and white theme for this all of them this time around.
This is probably my favorite extermination that we've had in recent seasons.
Yeah, same. It was really cool. Like we saw the puppets that were foreshadowed at the beginning, and Onyx entered the room and got eaten alive, and it was the top three that ate her. So that was a pretty cool one. Honestly, like, I feel like if I went on Dragula and I lost, I'd be excited to see how I die.
Yeah, because that's the thing. If you're in the finale and you lose, you don't even get an extermination.
Yeah, you just got a bunch of screen time. Who wants that?
But it's like, if I'm going to lose, I'd rather be the one that goes home right before the finale, you know?
No, I want to see everyone's filth, horror, glamour floor shows.
No, but what I'm saying is, like, if you were to be not win, would you rather go home right before the finale, or would you rather make it to the finale and not get an extermination?
I'd rather make it to the finale and not get an extermination. Totally. I'd rather make it to the top. Because I think that what all those exterminated people don't get is that final showcase.
True.
And that's a really cool
because
aspect.
A lot of times that final is like the best.
Yeah.
They like.
And everyone's consolation prize is getting that extermination. So, I don't know. I don't feel anyone really gets shortchanged in Dragula.
Fair.
Which is nice.
Fair. I'll give you that.
Which brings us to the end of the episode. I thought this was a pretty good one. It's looking like it's going to be a good season.
Yeah. Honestly, this is one of the most excited that I've been for Dragula in a while. Same. Even though, like, there's been a lot of looks that I haven't been, like, the most excited about compared to some seasons.
Mm.
I'm still, like, overall, there is something about the energy of this cast that is so electric.
Yeah.
That you can, like, feel through the.
And it doesn't feel, there's drama, but I don't feel like it's weighed down on the show. Like, I know on Titans we had the twink drama that just felt like it was never going to end. And it was like, I really just care more about their art than this love triangle.
And there's a lot
of
drama this season, but it's about the competition.
Yeah, and that's nice. Things we're seeing on camera. Imagine that.
Well, except for the...
On him skirt. Yeah. Hey, if that's it, then I think we have a good season. Flops of the week.
I think I have mine.
Okay. Do you want to go first?
Sure.
All right, folks. This is our chance that we do every single week here at Flapping and Fawning to go on a 60-second uninterrupted rant about something in this world that deserves to be flopped against. And Fawn is going to kick us off.
I've, like, been going really serious with my flops of the week lately, and this week's is so not serious.
Do it. Be petty, Betty.
So...
All right, well, your time starts now.
My flop of the week. My flop of the week is multiple part TikToks, especially when the fucking multiple part TikTok hasn't finished uploading all the parts.
Disgusting!
If you're telling a story, but you're like, come back for part two or come back for part three, and I'm seeing this, and the next part's not fucking out yet. You fucking wasted my time. I was in
30 seconds.
Bested in this. And you know what? I'm probably not going to remember to come back and watch this. And I don't check my notifications on TikTok. I barely get on TikTok as it is. So when I encounter a multiple part series that is not finished, I get so frustrated because one of them that I was watching today was about... the predictions for the upcoming Met Gala, and only the first two parts were out, and I could tell this was gonna be a 7-part series, and I was just like, oh my god.
And that's why multiple part TikToks are Fawn's flop of the week. Honestly, I totally agree. Anytime that I get that follow for part two, I'm like, no, I'm not gonna do it. And maybe it's a good way to, like, boost engagement or something, but I find it very aggravating. And it's like, I would rather not watch your content. That's always going to keep me on a cliffhanger.
And like, I could get it back in the old days of TikTok, back when it was like, you have 15 seconds to a minute for a video. Now you can do a 10-minute video. Give me all the shit at once.
Yeah. I agree. Yeah. Just show me the thing. I don't want to watch all the different parts and go on the scavenger hunt to get whatever you're trying to show me. I probably don't care that much. You know,
I get invested and then I can't find the rest of them.
Are you a short form video person or a long form video person?
I am typically a long form.
Same.
I spend a lot of time on YouTube and very little time on TikTok.
Oh my God. It's shocking to me. Like I was into the TikTok trend for a while and I would like stay up all night and be like, oh my God, how did it become 4 a.m? You know, watching those 30-second videos. But eventually I started to become more aware of how much time I was spending on there. And now I'm on YouTube.
Which granted, most of the shit that I do on YouTube is just visual podcasts. Like I've been getting into I've Had It Lately. I watch Sibling Rivalry on YouTube, which means I only get visuals for the first half of it. I watch Very Delta.
I just don't have the time to sit and watch a podcast.
Well, I don't like, I do it while I'm at work. So it's one of those things I like prop my phone up and I'm working. I do visual podcasts for stuff that is like, especially Very Delta. I can't just listen to Very Delta. I have to watch it because there are so many visual gags, which that's in the morning while I'm like doing paperwork and stuff where it's easy. But like during the day, I just like having something that I can like connect to visually rather than just hearing it. I don't know. Cause I don't even have to be watching it the whole time. Like, cause that's the thing. It's a podcast. I can step away and like be working and I don't have to focus on watching it, but I like having the visual element for the visual like connection and visual simulation of it.
That's fair. Yeah. I feel Very Delta has a lot of gags that you're like, oh, I don't want to miss that. I don't know. I love listening to it as I walk to work. And if I had a phone in front of my face as I was walking to work, I'd probably fall down. Are you ready for my flop of the week?
Yes. Are you ready?
I believe so.
3, 2, 1, go.
So when I watch porn, I want something that feels real. I want something that feels attainable. So I don't want to see AI porn featuring celebrities
sucking dick and cock.
Exactly. They didn't consent to me seeing them sucking dick and cock.
Disgusting.
Honestly, I think it's really, really creepy. And I find myself going away from it as much as I can because it's like, I don't know. I wouldn't want someone attaching my face to a porn video.
Cue the sniper.
Exactly. So whoever's making this really just needs to stop. I think that there was a golden era of time when you just had to use your imagination to obsess over these people. It's really, really creepy. Like if I see one more video of Tom Holland getting fisted and while dressed up as Link, like it's just
5 seconds.
Very strange and weird. So
this
stop
is really
it.
Fun and fair.
Not fair. Not fair to anybody. Which is why AI porn featuring non-consenting celebrities is my flop of the week. Have you seen that?
No.
I've
gotten
on
zero
Twitter,
AI porn.
Really? It's like, you might not even know. Because sometimes it looks so real. Like
no, like I only follow content creators on Twitter.
I don't know if I follow I guess I do. I think I follow. I only use my Twitter for porn. So it's like,
right.
If I see a video, I like often like, well,
it's my alt
follow. And so maybe it's just these like accounts that post anything or like promote a specific type of content that will share it. It's just like, whoa, I don't think that, it just feels creepy. It's like,
yeah.
And I don't think
it's like
right.
When people like leak celebrity nudes.
Exactly. Like they didn't consent to that. So we shouldn't be a party to this thing.
Yeah.
It feels like it feels like a really,
there was
new
a time
violation.
When I was like young and gay and I was like, oh, celebrity nude leaks. I want to see. But as I've gotten older, I'm like, that seems gross.
Unethical. Yeah. So, and I like ethical porn.
Yeah. Consent. Which, are you being consented to? Are you having consent? Like, are you giving consent to look at this from the person that you're looking at it of?
Yeah.
Because that's another thing. Because that's one of the big things that made me feel that way and like flip that switch was whenever I was finding out in my single days that my nudes were being sent around to other people. Like their friends were showing them.
Oh my God, I'm sorry that happened to you.
Like not like necessarily sent around, but like people would show their friend my nudes. And I'm like, that wasn't for your friend.
Uh-huh. Yeah, no, it's not cool. Don't do that. Don't support creators who make that shit. It's not right.
Yeah.
So, anyways, that was mine.
Now, if it's like an animated character, I'd probably get down to that. Like, if it's fictional.
Sure. Yeah. I can't even tell you how many times I've seen Aladdin fuck Jafar.
Oh, my God. Those Disney ones? There's one with Tarzan, too?
Oh, yeah, the Tarzan one. Yeah.
Is that with the guy from Atlantis? Is that the one that
yes,
one is?
Yes, it is.
Oh, my God.
It is. Which brings us to our fawn of the week. I've kind of soft revealed my fawn of the week at the top of this episode. So what's yours?
Do you know yours? My fawn of the week is how this is flying a little bit by the seat of my pants, but not completely. Just like how much time I've gotten to just like enjoy out of drag lately,
mm-hmm.
especially like going to concerts. Mark and I have been to so many concerts lately.
Yeah, that seems like something you really enjoy doing. So I'm glad you're into doing that.
And like, it's not something that I did a lot before dating Mark. I did it some, but it wasn't like I have to go see this person. Like, granted, a lot of these concerts are like, some of them are Mark's like number one, so Mark gets the ticket. However, we're going to see Kim this weekend, and that's
your number
my
one.
Doing. And I was like, we are doing this. And so I'm so excited to see Kim this weekend. It's one of those things, we've been so fucking busy even without drag that it's like, I'm like, I need a break.
I know that you're the world's drag. Biggest number one Lil' Kim fan. So I'm excited for you to get to go see Lil' Kim.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Very soon. I'm personally more of a Barb.
Oh my God.
I know Lil' Kim is going to be amazing for you.
I've been watching the Kim Petras tour stuff.
Wait, who? You're not talking about Lil' Kim?
No. I'm talking about Trans Icon.
Ah, the one and only.
The one and only. Trans Icon
of the
Kim
stars.
Kardashian.
Yeah, she got hit from the back in that one video. That brings me to my fawn of the week. And I
don't know why I about turned a timer on for you for fawn of the week.
60 seconds. Yeah. It's like, you gotta shut up. Mine goes, it's for my birthday. Someone made me feel really, really special on my birthday. I had a lot of people who sent me a lot of love. Thank you to everyone who said happy birthday or did something nice. But yo,
the
Megan,
only thing she got from me was performing a song from her birth year.
I got other things. The gift of your presence is honestly all I need. And $25. Megan Brooker, who is someone I work with, also someone who comes to a lot of our shows. We just stan her. She's always doing amazing things for us. And oh my God, she went above and beyond, like took me out to lunch the day before. And I thought that was going to be it. But no, I went into my office and she had decorated my office before I got in that morning. And then came to bingo that night and had made my favorite flavor of cupcakes, carrot, with my face on them.
The lemon ones? I just threw my bottle-shaped vape across the room. The lemon ones were so delicious. Anytime Megan bakes something, I know my stomach will be rejoicing.
Yeah.
Megan is a fantastic baker.
She really, really is.
I also tell her, like, when I see her, like, I told her when she came to brunch. I don't know if I said this on the pod. She came to brunch and, like, brought some things. And I was like, you know, you don't have to bring this stuff when you come. We just enjoy seeing you. But also, we're not going
to. You don't have to
no.
stop.
Like, don't feel obligated to do it. But if you do it, we appreciate it.
Totally. Yeah. Megan is a wonderful, wonderful person. I'm really glad to have her in my life. And I also wanted to give like an honorary mention to Marie Melgar, who also goes by the name Shimmer. And she baked this fantastic flapjack cake that was like shaped like a stack of flapjacks, and it had like little icing butter on top that said "Happy Birthday, Flapjack," which is, well, she's what an amazing thing.
I've seen a few cakes that she's made, and they've all been cute.
Yeah, go
very well done. As somebody that's like used to enjoy baking, I could not get into the decorating side of things. Mm. I did not.
That's because you just wanted to make edibles.
That was before my devil's lettuce days.
Oh.
That was back when I was like wanting to go to pastry school. Like, I wanted to be a pastry chef at one point. Believe it or not.
I believe it.
I chase a lot. I like have a lot of like pipe dreams that go nowhere, just like my drag.
Did you want to be a pastry chef, or were you just going to be a pasty chef?
I just wanted to get my cream. I just wanted to be a cream puff.
Where's the cream filling? Well, thanks everyone for listening to another Dragula review on Flapping and Fawning. See you next week. Thanks for listening to
Flapping and Fawning.
Music by Elliot Nass.
Promotional art by Danny Lee.
Hosts are Flapjack.
Oh, hey, that's me.
And I'm Fawn. You can follow me on Instagram at fawn.fawn.fawn.
And you can follow me over at Instagram as well. And pretty much any other social media platform at flapjacquelin, FLAPJACQUELINE.
Connect with us on social media on Instagram at Flapping and Fawning Pod and on Twitter at Flap and Fawn Pod.
Oh, and make sure you check out the links in our bio to buy some merch. You can also connect with us via Gmail at flappingandfawningpod@gmail.com. See you next time.
Bye.
Ta-ta.